I'm going to read from Jaga Dharma. I'm not even sure what chapter it is. 18. Brahmaya, Beta Beta Tatsva. Om Ganita Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Daksur and Muratam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vichaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutare. Sayam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Safadam Tikam. Manshakalpa Turu Vyasya Kripatu Vaye Vicha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Vyajaita Gadadha Shiva Sade Goha Bhakta Binda. Hare Krishna. Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rajanath, what is the evidence that priti is the ultimate goal for the jiva? Greetings from New York. I'm back in New York at the Bhakti Center. Sorry I couldn't get on the class for maybe even a few weeks. One second. I'm sorry I couldn't get on the class, but when you go to a new country and there was just programs organized that were conflicting on the schedule, and I'll get into the philosophy, but just my appreciation for Shamashram. It's Krishna's blessings that he's letting me to serve there. And externally, it really is a paradise, practically in every way. But the real thing is the people there, the educated class of people that are becoming interested in Krishna consciousness. And also for me, to have a place where I can be fully empowered as the leader to, develop it and develop a team of devotees to work cooperatively to do so. Some of the most amazing people I've ever met in terms of families and piety. Educated people, it's wonderful. Okay, so Beta Beta Tattva, this is the eighth Dashamula, 10 root instructions that cover the whole full gamut of Krishna consciousness. Rajanath, remember we went all the way back where he was a logician and somehow he became interested in Lord Chaitanya as a logician, and then somehow by that interest he got the Bhakti Lata Beach and became a devotee, and now he's being trained by his guru. He's being trained by his guru. And and systematically, and there's three basic subject matters that can be divided in various ways, but the three are sambandhagyan, metaphysical knowledge, and epistemology. You know, what is the concept of reality? What is our evidence for it? Abhideya tattva, how to realize reality. And Pyojana tattva, what is the goal of life, or which is the experience of reality, and in bhakti, that's prema, or priti. So, the first eight instructions, we're up to the eighth instruction, deals with sambandhagyan, metaphysical knowledge, and In other words, what is reality? And that's based on your understanding of the various components of reality. Now, I've discussed this many, many times. It's basically matter, spirit, and the controller of both. And the A Shloka described that if you want to understand reality, you have to understand Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, that the components of reality are simultaneously one with and different from God. Advayam Gyan, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Itti Shabdate. That Vedanta Tattva Tattva Yajnanam Advayam, that it's non-dual consciousness. It's non-dual substance or consciousness. And there are divisions in it. It's also different. Everything is one. I give the example, you can point to any part of your body and say it's the body. But the hand is not the whole body, nor is the hand is the foot. So you can point to any part of reality, and it is God, but the living entity is not another living entity, and the living entity is not the whole thing or God. So understanding... And Mayavadi philosophy says that the living entity is God. And a concept of the personal God is material or illusion. And it described that this was not Vedic, it wasn't in the Shastras, but it was a historical phenomenon that was necessary to bring people away from the Vedas when the Vedas was being misused for violence, for killing animals. And as ahimsa is the foundation of all spirituality, because it is the epitome of hate, which divides us, hate which divides us from God. It's the root of all misconception. So when that is abused, when the desire to control and enjoy comes to the extent that I will exploit others to the point of killing them, then if that is done in the name of the Vedas, then it's better to discredit the Vedas. And that's what it's a two-step thing. That's what Lord Buddha did. And then to reestablish the Vedas, which is necessary to transcendental knowledge, or is it rejected because it's abused, so it has to be established so it can be used. And therefore, Shankaracharya, he preached a similar philosophy as Buddhism, but to bring people under the guise of the Vedas. But it's not really, it's a misinterpretation of the text. And later teachers, the Vaishnava teachers, like Ramanuja Acharya and Madhva Acharya, they defeat this philosophy to establish the real essence of the Vedas, the real tattva of the Vedas, the real subject of the Vedas, is that there's an eternal individuality of the soul, which is part and parcel of God and meant for God's service. That the individuality of the soul is not illusion, and in the future, there was a time, the Tvevaham Jatu Nasam, the Tvam Neme Janati Panasavada. There was a time where I did not exist, nor you, nor all the kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. And that type of understanding, which is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, the sameness of God, the sameness of us to God, which is required for service, and the difference, both the sameness and the difference, is required for service. And the points and arguments were made that the Vedas support this Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. And this is the reality. This is Sambandha Gyan. And the eighth Dasha Mula specifically decried the philosophy of the Vartavad that if there are distinctions, this is Vartavad, if there are distinctions, then the absolute truth has been changed and is not eternal, and therefore those distinctions must be illusion. Where the Parinamvad is that there can be transformations because the absolute reality has inconceivable potencies, and there can be change in the potency without change in the source of the potency, as a touchstone or as the sun. So this Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, and only when one accepts this philosophy can one realize the eternal individuality soul and the eternal difference with God and therefore the eternal duty of service. And without this, one cannot attain the priyojana, which is priti, or love. That is the priyojana, love of God, the desire, the like in the heart for serving God more than anything else. So he comes from this all the way, he comes to the point of priti, or love. And now Vajranath continues. What is the evidence that priti is the ultimate goal for the jiva? What is the evidence? Again, what happens is he says, without this understanding, if you are covered by Mayavadi philosophy, if you don't have this understanding that Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, that the difference is real and the sameness is real, you don't have this, you won't achieve the goal, which is priti. And what other goal can there be besides priti? What other goal makes sense to us besides love? We all accept that love is the highest reality. Even if we have a mundane conception of love, we accept it as the highest reality. So why should not pure love expanded to the highest degree, which is to everything God, why should that not be the goal of life? What other goal makes sense? Can there be any other goal you achieve where the heart is not filled by love that you would be satisfied? So Rajanath hears that and he says, what is the evidence that priti is the ultimate goal for the jiva? So now Babaji is going to establish, because evidence is the Vedas. So he's going to establish that evidence. So he quotes from the Mundaka Upanishads, Prano Yesha Yasava Bhutabhuti. The Supreme Person is the life of all that lives, and he shines within all living beings. Those who know the Supreme Personality of God are by the science of bhakti, do not look for anything else. Such jivan muktis are endowed with attachment to the Supreme Lord, Rati, and they participate in his loving pastimes. Such bhaktis are the best of all those who are in knowledge of Brahman. So that's a reference from Rudaka Upanishads that the goal is to have rati or love. Makes sense to me. In other words, the most fortunate of those who know Brahman associate with Krishna actively in his loving pastimes. This sentiment of rati is a symptom of love for Krishna. It is explained further in the Brihat Arandaki Upanishads 2.4.5 and 4.5.6. Nava Hare sarvasya kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Yajnavalkya said, O Maitreyi, everyone is not dear to us because of their necessities, rather than they adhere to us because of their own necessities. I don't understand what that means. Young give up, so let me see. Anyway, they're dear to us because of our own necessities. I guess that means that love is a necessity of life. It's a goal of life. It is evident from this mantra that priti, love for the Supreme, is the only prayojana for the jiva. Baba, there are many examples of such statements in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam and Tattariya Upanishads 2.7.1 say, Raso vai saha ko yeva na kapranatyat. Wait, ko yeva na kapranatyat. Resha akash anandanasya esha yeva nadayati. The Parabrahman, Paramatma, is nectar personified. The jiva finds pleasure in associating with that nectarian Paramatma. And who could live if he is not present in the heart? It is Paramatma alone who gives bliss to the jivas. So rasa vai saha, this is famous from the Tattariya Upanishad, says that God is the highest form of overwhelming love. And this is just, I don't know, just it's very sensible from our experience in the world how things work. What is logic based on, basically? From observing the world, making some conclusions, seeing how laws are manifest in the world, and therefore applying those laws elsewhere. This is how it worked here. These same circumstances are there, and it will give the same results. So it seems that this is a very reasonable conclusion, that the highest perfection is being overwhelmed by love. Love means a concrete expression of love. So there must be some distinction in the absolute truth to exchange love. And we're meant to participate in that. What is our goal as a living entity? What is our dharma according to who we are? We are meant to participate in the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is an exchange of love. An overwhelming sense of love. The word ananda, bliss, is a synonym for priti, affection. All living entities are in search of pleasure and bliss. Everyone is searching for pleasure, I wrote that, and pleasure is love. There's no difference between ananda and priti, or pleasure and love. That is the highest necessity. That is the highest reality. That is the purpose of everything, to live in love. A mumuksha believes that liberation is the ultimate pleasure, and that is why he's mad for liberation. The sense enjoyers, mumukshish, believe that the objects of sense enjoyment are the ultimate pleasure. So they pursue the objects of sense gratification until the end of their lives. It is the hope of achieving pleasure that induces everyone to perform all his activities. Ananda maya abhyasat. We are seeking pleasure. That is our nature. It's the nature of everything is moving towards happiness. The bhaktas are also endeavoring for Sri Krishna's devotional service. In fact, everyone is looking for priti, so much so that they're ready to sacrifice their lives for it. In principle, everyone's ultimate aim is priti, and no one can disagree with this. Everyone is searching for happiness. And what you do is based on your trust in what will give you happiness. Everyone is exclusively searching for pleasure, whether they are believers or atheists, fruitive workers, karmis, and whether they have desires or desireless. However, one cannot achieve priti simply by seeking it. The fruit of workers believe that celestial pleasures are the ultimate bliss, but it is explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:20, Shine Punye Martya Lakam Vishanti. After the residents of gigantic celestial planets have completed the results of their good karma, they have to take birth again on the mortal earthly planets. The karmis desire sense gratification to do this, constantly transmigrate from one place, planet to another. In other words, you cannot achieve pritti simply by seeking it because you may be seeking the wrong thing, and here is a goal. The fruit of workers who believe that such celestial pleasures are the ultimate goal. According to the shloka of Gita, everyone realizes their mistakes only when they fall down from the celestial planet. So you think your goal is the heavenly planets, and you perform so many sukriti, so many pious activities to get there, and then when they are expired, then you come down. So he's saying a person may begin to covet the pleasure of the heavenly planets again when he fails to find pleasure in the wealth, children, fame, and power that is available in the world of human beings. However, when he is falling from the celestial worlds, he adopts a respectful attitude towards an even greater happiness than that of Swarga, the heavenly planets. He becomes indifferent to the pleasures of the heavenly worlds, the celestial planets, and even the higher planets up to Brahmaloka, when he understands that they are temporary and that their happiness is also not fixed or eternal. This is a discussion of pritti and how you not achieve it by seeking it because you could seek the wrong thing. So you can seek the heavenly planets, but it's not satisfying. And therefore, you can't ultimately stay there. And one reason it's not satisfying is because it is temporary, and therefore mixed with duality. So, when you fail to find pleasure in these things, then you seek an even greater happiness than Swarga. You become indifferent to the pleasures of the human world, the celestial planets, and even the higher planets up to Brahmaloka, when you understand that they're all temporary and that their happiness is also not fixed or eternal. He then becomes renounced and starts to investigate Brahma Nirvana and endeavor earnestly for impersonal liberation. So this is the progression. You seek happiness in material things, you're disappointed, and therefore you seek happiness in their renunciation. However, when he sees that impersonal liberation also lacks bliss, he takes so bliss is the goal. Happiness is the goal. And it's an affirmation. True happiness is an affirmation that you are following reality. You actually fulfilling your mission or your purpose as a living entity. However, when he sees that impersonal liberation also lacks bliss, he takes an unbiased to toss the position and searches for another path that will enable him to achieve pritti or pleasure. How is it possible to experience pritti in impersonal liberation? Who is the personality who is supposed to experience such bliss? If I lose my identity, who will exist to experience Brahman? There's another nice argument. One argument is, what is the source of illusion? And if you say the jiva, if the Maya body say the jiva, then you say, well, the jiva is illusory. And then if you say, well, the sort needs support illusion is Brahman, then you have two problems. One, it's not Brahman because its subject is subjected to something greater than it, which is illusion. And it's not undifferentiated oneness because there's illusion in Brahman. You don't find pleasure is there. Because what's the conclusion anyway? That you don't even exist. So what's the question of experiencing pleasure? If I cease to exist when I'm liberated, then my individuality is lost along with my existence. Nothing pertains to me anymore by which I can experience bliss or pleasure. Nothing exists for me if I myself do not exist. Someone may say I am Brahma Roop. However, this statement is false because the I who is Brahma Roop is Nitya, eternal. In other words, if one says that he is Brahman, then he is also eternal. So it's such a good argument. Well, who is enjoying it? Well, it's not you that's enjoying the pleasure. And then if you say, I am Brahman, right, in order to contradict Mayavadi philosophy, if you say it's I who is enjoying that pleasure, because then the I means you're eternal, and therefore anybody else who is eternal. And therefore, that contradicts Mayavadi. In other words, if one says that he's Brahman, then he's also eternal. In that case, everything is useless for him, including the process to attain perfection and perfection itself. Therefore, Prithi is not to be obtained by in Brahma Nirvana. Even if it is perfect, it is something that is not experienced, like a flower growing in the sky. Bhakti is the only path by which the jiva can attain his true goal. The final stage of bhakti is praying, which is eternal. The pure jiva is eternal. Pure Krishna is eternal, and pure Lovin is also eternal. Consequently, one can only attain the perfection of true love in eternity when he accepts the truth of Achintya Veda Veda. Otherwise, the ultimate goal of the jiva, which is love for the Supreme, becomes non-eternal, and the existence of the jiva is also lost. Therefore, all the shastras accept and confirm the doctrine of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. All other doctrines are simply speculation. Vrajanath returned home in a blissful state of mind, deeply absorbed in thoughts about pure spiritual love. Thus ends the 18th chapter of Jiva Dharma entitled Pranaya, Veda Veda Tattva. Now, this is great. Now we're getting to the ninth Dashamula, which is Abhideya Tattva, the means of realizing the absolute truth. And in my mind, the most deep and interesting subject of realizing the absolute truth, the most practical. And I think we're really going to enjoy these sections, going over them in depth. After taking his meal, this is the next chapter, we'll just read, Vrajanath retired to bed with various conflicting views about Achintya Veda Tattva arising in his heart. Sometimes he thought that Achintya Veda Veda Tattva was just another kind of Mayavadi philosophy. When he reconsidered the teaching seriously, he realized that there was no objection in Shastra. On the contrary, it contained the essence of all Shastra. Srimad Gaurkishore is the complete manifestation of Bhagavan himself, and his profound teachings cannot possibly be faulty in any way, he said to himself. I will never give up the lotus feet of that extremely kind and affectionate Gaurkishore, but alas, what I've attained so far. I've come to understand that Achintya Veda Veda Tattva is the ultimate truth. But what have I gained through this knowledge? Raghunath Das Babaji has said that Priti, love, is the subject of life to all jivas. Karmis and Jnanis are working for love, but they are ignorant of Shuddha Priti. That is why I must reach the stage of unadulterated love. But my only concern is, how may I achieve it? I will inquire from Babaji Mahasaya about this subject and adopt his principles, thinking like this, Raghunath fell asleep. Okay. This philosophy about the ultimate reality, and there's a goal to experience it, but now the question is, how do you do that? And this is what he's concerned with. Since Rajanath went to sleep quite late, he also woke late the next morning. The sun had already risen when he rose from his bed, and he had hardly finished his morning ablutions when his maternal uncle, Vijay Kumar, Bhattacharya Mahasaya arrived from Sri Mota Dhuma. Bhajanath was very pleased to see his uncle after so many days. He offered him Dandavat Praman and respectfully offered him a seat. Vijay Kumar was a great scholar and orator of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he would travel considerable distances to give Bhagavatam discourses. By the mercy of Sri Narayan, he had developed staunch faith in his heart in Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Some days previously, he had the good fortune of obtaining darshan of Vrindavan Das Thakur in a village by the name Benuda. I went there. That was great. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur ordered him to visit the inconceivable yoga pit of Sridhar Mayapur to see Sachinandana Gohari's Achinkya Leela eternally takes place. He also informed them that soon most of the holy places of Sriman Mahaprabhu's pastime would soon disappear and he would reappear after 400 years. He said that the place of Gaur's pastimes were essentially non-different from Sri Vrindavan, the holy place of Krishna Leela, and that only those who can perceive the transcendental nature of Sri Mayapur can truly have darshan of Sri Vrindavan. Hearing these words of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, the incarnation of the Asadev, Vijay Kumar became very eager to take darshan of Sridhar Mayapur and decided to go there after visiting his sister and nephew in Bilva Pushkarini. These days, the villages of Bilva Pushkarini and Brahma Pushkarini are somewhat different from each other, but in those days, they were immediately adjacent, and the boundary of Bilva Pushkarini was within a mile of Sridhar Mayapur Yoga Pit. The old village of Bilva Pushkarini is abandoned these days and is known by the name of Tota or Taravas. When uncle and nephew would exchange pleasantries, Vijay Kumar said, "Tell grandmother that I am going to take darshan of Sridhar Mayapur, and then I will be back soon and take my afternoon meal here." "Uncle, why do you want to visit Mayapur?" asked Rajana. So now he sees his uncle is also becoming interested, so he's asking him about that. Vijay Kumar was unaware of Brajanath's present condition. He only heard that Brajanath had given up his duty of Nyaya Shastra and now studying the Danta Sutra, so he did not consider it appropriate to describe his devotional sentiment to him. Instead, he hid his real motive and said, "I have to meet someone in Mayapur." You don't explain something that someone can be abused. Therefore, one of the things, I forgot what Shastrits mentioned, is one of the things you should hide is your guru. Because other people don't have the same faith, and if you put it on your sleeve, then you may draw criticism from people who don't have the same feelings as you. So now he knows that he doesn't know that his nephew is awakening these sentiments, so he's being very careful what can be shared and abused. And that's a nice defense to give the holy name to the faithless people. You've got to be very careful not to deliberately preach to inimical people who will only increase their enmity. Bhajanath was aware that his uncle was not only a great scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam, but also a devotee of Sri Gaur. So he guessed that he must have some spiritual purpose in visiting Sridhar Mayapur. "Uncle," he said, "a very faithful and exalted Vaishnav called Raghunath Das Babaji resides in Mayapur. You must have some discussion with him." Encouraged by Bhajanath's words, Vijay Kumar said, "Are you developing faith in the Vaishnavas these days? I heard that you had given up the study." So the uncle now is trying to find out where Bhajanath's at. "I heard that you've given up the study of Nyaya Shastra and were studying Vedanta, but now I see that you're entering into the path of bhakti, so I need not hide anything from you. The fact is that Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has ordered me to have darshan of Yoga Pit in Sri Mayapur. So I decided to take bath in the waves of the Sri Ganga Devi and then circumambulate and take darshan of Sri Yoga Pit Then at Srivasangam, I shall roll in my heart's content in the dust of the Vaishnava's lotus feet. Because next to the yoga pit is the house of Srivas Thakur, where they had the kirtans, the first kirtans, the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. Vrajanath said, Uncle, please take me along with you. Let's meet with Mother and then leave for Mayapur. Deciding thus, they informed Vrajanath's mother and left for Mayapur. First, they took bath in the Ganga. And then Vijay Kumar exclaimed, aha, today my life has been successful. At this God, Sri Satchinanda Gohari bestowed unlimited mercy upon Janavi Devi by performing his water pastimes here for 24 years. While bathing in the sacred waters today, I am feeling Parama Anand. And Vrajanath heard Vijay Kumar speak these words in an inspired mood. He spoke with a melted heart. Uncle, today I'm also blessed by your mercy. After Ganga Snan, they visited Mahaprabhu's birthplace at the home of Jagannath Mishra. There, by the mercy of Sridham, they became completely immersed in a mood of deep spiritual love, and their bodies became drenched with tears. Vijay Kumar said, if one takes birth in this land of Gaura but does not visit this Maha Yoga pit, one's life is useless. Just see how this holy place seems to materialize, to appear as an ordinary piece of land covered by straw huts. But by Gauranga's mercy, we see what beauty and opulence is visible to us. Look, how high and splendid are these bejeweled mansions. How inviting are these lovely gardens. How attractive to the eyes are these places of worship. Look here. Sri Gauranga and Vishnu Priya are standing inside the house. Oh, what an enchanting form. What an enchanting form. As he said this, they both fell down and lost consciousness. After some time, they recovered with the help of some of the other devotees and entered Sri Vasangam. Tears flooded from their eyes, and they rolled on the ground, exclaiming, hey, Sri Vasa, Hananda, Nityananda, hey, Gadadha Gauranga. Please give us your mercy, free us from false pride, and give us the shelter of your lotus feet. All the Vaishnavas there became very joyful when they saw such emotions in two Brahmins. They began to dance and chant loudly, Mayapur Chanda ki jai, Ajitya Gauranga ki jai, Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Vrajanath immediately offered his body at the lotus feet of his worshipful master, Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj. The elderly Babaji picked him up and embraced him, asking, Babo, what brings you here at this time today? And who is this respectable Mahajan with you? Vrajanath humbly told him everything, and the Vaishnav seated with them with utmost respect. Vijay Kumar then inquired submissively from Sri Raghunath Das Babaji, Babu, by what means can one achieve the ultimate Priyojana for all Jivas? All Jivas, be merciful and tell us how to attain the Priyojana. So there's three philosophical categories, Sambandha. What is your conception of reality? Abhideya, what is your means to realize it? And Priyojana, the result of doing so. But once you hear the aim is the impetus for the practice. Because practice means to aim at the goal. Even though the goal is the last thing to be achieved, it's one of the first things to be discussed and read about because it will inspire us to seek the goal. Okay, it's getting late, and last night I did not even sleep because I was in the plane. I hardly slept today at all. So I may talk out in about 5 minutes, but I'm glad to hear any... I'm glad if anybody would like to say hello. Anybody there?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Tiffany.
Tiffany. Oh, how nice to hear from you. Oh.
It's good to hear your voice.
Why don't you come down and visit us at the Bhakti Center? we have nice kirtan tomorrow, Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I'll definitely be there this weekend. Okay. I teach a class tomorrow.
Okay, great. Great to hear from you, Tiffany. Thanks for joining. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhakta Das.
Govardhan, Hare Krishna. I got to have to now figure a way. We'll come to your house one time, so I'll look at that now. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we
Hare
can
Krishna
answer today.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Manchu. Hare
Bo. Manchu, Hare Bo Maharaj.
Thank you. Yeah, great. Having such a great time down there in Shamashram. Maybe you can visit us also sometime. Okay. One should offer dubious second person to be able to put some public.